I felt like I understood where Gina came from a lot more by listening to this album.
Smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and uploaded to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk Spanish. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Folks, Deranged Penguin Podcast coming at you. Live and in person. You're listening to it live.
And we direct. Are in your living room.
Yes. We're actually behind the sofa. Like
on their settee.
Yeah. What is a settee again?
It's what I'm sitting on.
Del, what are you sitting on in their living room?
I'm riding their dog.
That's dirty. Folks, Deranged Penguin Podcast is brought to you by Lee's Coffee, Tea, and Me. Where they like to fick your ass. And, that's what I hear, man. That's what I hear. So let's, you know, we talked on the show about, I guess, ficker assing, celebrities doing ficker ass. And, what happened is like everybody basically now, everybody that you've ever seen on TV has harassed somebody.
You knew they had.
Yeah. I mean, you knew it, sure. But like now people are telling on them and they're like, oh crap, I'm caught. I'm fired. Matt Lauer was making $25 million a year, had a secret button that locked the door.
Badass.
Actually, that was kind of cool. I was like, that's pretty awesome. I wish I had that now. Like, I wish I could press a button and lock the door right here. Anyway, Matt Lauer's fired. So the lesson, Adele was like, no, I think we got it. We don't really need it. Too many more people talking about how they were harassed. I think we got it. We know it already. And I think Del's proven wrong. So, Del, how does it feel to be proven wrong definitively?
Well,
still thinks they need to hush. Quit shutting down his good programs.
No.
I think Del's, like, if I can translate Del's groan there, it's he really liked the Today Show. And he's very disappointed about the change.
I didn't read that. I've stopped reading the articles. I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. Like,
it's bad.
I don't. Well, I had a discussion with a like super liberal dude who old professor, not my professor, old dude, old guy who is a professor at University of Chicago or Missouri or something like that, but. I don't know, man. It's just there's no way to talk about it without sounding like a dick, like a callous dick. But at what point is there any responsibility on the harassee? You know, like if I was going, even if I was 16. If I was 17, if I was 18 and meeting a high profile dude and he was like, hey, come back to my hotel room and let's talk about business. Like
that's shady business right there.
That's shady. And you have to know. I mean, it's not like. I don't know, man.
I mean, I understand what you're trying to say. And I do think, like, yeah, I think everybody bears a certain amount of personal responsibility.
That's not absolving anybody.
Yeah,
I
agree. Yeah, I mean, it's
stuff,
to me, we talked about this before, right? It's the cop saying, lock your shit, take your key, don't leave any valuables in the car, right? And, again, I think the immediate reaction, and I completely understand this reaction, is like, you can't, don't blame the victim. There's no blame the victim. And the reason people are saying that is because, for a long period of time, right, for 99% of his recorded history, yeah, we've immediately called the women whores and absolved the dude, right? So having a little bit of the other way, where maybe we're just overly, I don't even say overly, but we're just, we'll say it and say overly blaming the dude, I think is just fine, because it's not even a drop in the bucket to what has been done historically to women, right? Just completely not believing them, calling them whores and saying, well, they asked for it. So, I mean, but yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's a little bit of, you know, take your stuff, keep it out of sight, lock your doors, you know, don't leave the front door open and your diamond jewels right there in the entryway. They might get stolen, you know, and then you're going to, it's wrong for that robbery to occur, but you know, don't help it along. Gina, how do you feel about it?
I mean, yeah, I agree with what you're both saying, and I think this is kind of what we were maybe going to talk about last show that we didn't get time for, was when the story about Louis C.K. came out. And, I mean, the main issue is there's not a lot of room for nuance in these public discussions. So, like you said, right, Adam, right now the story is just, let's just talk about what's wrong. And there's not a lot of room to say what exactly happened, what happened in each case. And I think that's part of the problem. Like, we're throwing the "this is inappropriate" blanket over everybody, and that's about all there's room for in the headline and in the story, which, you know, is true, so it's fair in that way. But like I said, there's not room for the rest of the discussion, like what's happened with each person. And yeah, they are getting some of those details in there, like what exactly was Louis C.K. doing, the stories, the complaints that came out. They touched on those in the coverage of him, what exactly happened with Matt Lauer, what complaints came out, you know, the lock on his desk, the maybe affairs he was having. It seemed like they were maybe mutually consenting, but there was also, you know, I think the theme is the issue of abuse of power and being in a position to hold something over someone, and that's the overarching problem right now.
So, yeah, for sure.
But it's hard to talk about still. Like, you know, we ultimately everybody just reduces it down to, oh, these men in power, and they're just all dirty, filthy, and we should have known. And they're all like that.
Yeah, right. I mean,
but
I think Del's awful.
To I'm generalize looking at you, Del, it.
I'm just, you're going to be held responsible for everybody.
And like Del was saying the last time we talked about it, I think it's important to have a more thorough discussion and to acknowledge the places where that's not happening and where people are given a fair shot in their career or to advance without those things playing a role in it. But if it's happening, we should know about that too.
Yeah.
So I was just figuring out like how to talk about it more comprehensively.
Right. So we're thankful for that. And also for Thanksgiving turkey, Thanksgiving foods. We had Thanksgiving. Did you have that? You had Thanksgiving. You had double Thanksgiving. You're like, you know, we're going to do it on November 1st, and then I'm going to go to New Orleans and go, you know, hang out over here for no reason. Is that basically what happened?
Yeah, pretty much. I got to have Thanksgiving dinner with my family the week before Thanksgiving.
It's
and then
Thanksgiving? It's not Thanksgiving, just to clarify. Which holiday? That's probably why you got the dates mixed up. You did it
I
early.
Think
it,
yeah.
Like, I'm
that's what
Thanksgiving?
I'm talking about. No,
like, that's on the 17th.
We have Thanksgiving meal. Yeah, the week before Thanksgiving. I don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I got you. I noticed that.
Yeah. The super old professor that I was with was one of the guys on the trip. It was three men from different generations, all single for various reasons. One
sounds like a movie. Like,
yeah, guys, it really felt a little bit.
We
like
got nobody at Thanksgiving with. You guys want to go hang out in New Orleans? I'm like, yeah, woo! It's like Wild Hogs 3, Wild Hogger, Harder.
So, so I decided to document it on Instagram, the adventure throughout the day, and went to Congo Square and had beignets, talked to an interesting woman who was drunk and had a bottle of wine at Cafe du Monde.
Sweet.
And was really drunk and also distressed, you know, obviously not happy about Thanksgiving. And I felt bad because I didn't interact with her more than just kind of observing her drunken weirdness. But
honestly, what could you have done? I mean, she's, you know, three sheets to the wind. What are you going to do?
Right. So that happened, and then we went and just rode around, and I just, you know, good conversation, good food, Commander's Palace, excellent. I feel highly recommend anybody to go there if you get the opportunity. It's my first time, and yeah, it's cool. Just a really weird, unique Thanksgiving experience.
That's cool. I mean, you did it up, non-traditional. Look at Dell.
Yep.
Dell's a picture of traditional over here, but then he's like, no, I'm going to celebrate Thanksgiving on the first Monday of the month and then go on a vacation on actual Thanksgiving Day. Completely defying. Was it who said Thanksgiving Day? Was it Abe Lincoln? Was it him that said it's going to be the third?
I think it was Pocahontas.
I've never really thought of that.
I think that's what Donald Trump was saying.
It was Wendy. What's her name?
Huh? Wendy Williams? No, she's a talk show host. It's not her that did it.
The Pocahontas woman.
Like the actual person or whoever Donald Trump's talking about?
Donald Trump, whoever he's trying to make fun of.
Yeah, is it Elizabeth Warren? Is that who he's talking about?
Elizabeth, no.
I don't know.
Is it?
I don't know who he's talking about.
You heard it here, folks. Elizabeth Warren. No, I'm not sure.
All right, so there's that. Thanksgiving was cool. We said this before. Keep it short. Want to over Thanksgiving your face. We did the grilled turkey. It was a little bigger this time. Last time we did 13 pounds. This time we did 22 pounds or 21. It charred up the wing a little bit. Funny story. Gina was like, yeah, I don't think anybody likes the wing. It's fine. It'll be fine to char up. Turns out her mom was like, is there wing available? Yeah, that's my favorite part.
She likes.
That's my only, the only part I like about the turkey. There you go.
Very well done wing.
Funny, like, so I don't know. Every year I'm like, all right, who wants to come over for Thanksgiving dinner? Let me know now. We plan a meal. You can be here. Everybody's like, nah, I don't know. Or people say, I'll be there, and they don't show up, or they come by later, and they're like, oh, I just only want pie. And so this year, I didn't ask anybody, but a couple days before, everybody that I usually ask, family, friends, they're like, oh, what time is dinner? I want to show up. And I think this is a problem with having it at 2, which is stupid. So everybody showed up. And so, like, I was like, okay, all right. We only have the one turkey. My favorite part is, like, the leg. I guess we'll go get some more legs. Went to the Whole Foods, got some more turkey legs, standing in line. Gina had to run to the restroom, so I was holding the kid. And, you know, so I'm holding the kid, and the guy's ordering a steak or something. I'm like, can I get a steak, and could I cut that in half? The guy's like, yeah, sure, no problem. I can cut that steak in half. So then the other guy comes up. He's like, can I help you, sir? And there's a lady to my right, and she's just, you know, browsing the meat. Right, taking a look, seeing what they got. But she starts peeking over, like, at the meat in front of me, I guess the turkey in front of me, as I'm getting ready to order it. And my kid leans across me. She sticks her arms out, and she goes, no, 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 no. At the lady, shoot her away. And, I mean, it was the cutest thing, and it was funny. Because usually she only does it to the dogs, something she picked up from Gina here, who does it to the dogs, apparently. So all of that was funny, and I was the only one that got to enjoy it.
She gave me the idea to use it on people.
Yeah, she was like, you there. No, 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 no. I don't even know. Like, she wasn't really encroaching. I don't know what the kid saw, but it's funny that
she sensed it.
She had a sense of the line, and she was like, look, lady, you're not next. Dad is next. You need to back up. Yeah. So that was real cute. So then we walked around and got samples of bread. As you do, I introduce you to the wonderful world of samples. What do we have here? Guacamole.
So all that was going on Thanksgiving Day?
No, that was the Wednesday before. I picked those up. I grilled up the turkey legs, then the turkey. It all worked out. I contributed the most amount of meals that I ever have in the decade plus that I've been having Thanksgiving dinner with Gina here.
It's true.
One turkey, four turkey legs, and then three desserts.
Three desserts.
Wow.
Right? I mean, I count each one of those tins as another dessert.
Braggadocious.
Yeah, look, if you made three or four
three
pies,
desserts.
Do you say I brought one dessert?
You can talk about pies all you
each
want.
Each one of those
Did
is
you
a
make
separate
three pies?
Dessert.
Did you make three pies?
Yeah.
Did you make three pies?
No, I made three servings of cinnamon roasted nuts.
You roasted some nuts.
And they were
That's
delicious.
Not three desserts.
Pies are not hard either.
So says the guy who didn't make pies.
What's hard about making a pie? You just throw it in some bread and throw it in the oven.
Did you make your own crust?
I did not.
Boom. I would contribute. I basically cook Thanksgiving dinner, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was our Thanksgiving. I'm sure everybody liked my food. I'm glad to have cooked every single portion of the meal.
Mm-hmm.
Gina, do you email like a boss?
I'm glad I was invited. What?
Do you email like a boss?
I don't.
How do you email?
Like an intelligent person who knows how to craft an intelligent message.
Yeah. What is this thing that you wanted to talk about today?
Well, you shared with me an article, and
I didn't share it with Del, so Del's kind of confused right here.
It was pretty interesting. It was on BuzzFeed, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember the author's name, but basically she was talking about how she tried out emailing like a boss for a period of time, and she loved it. It was great. And what she meant by that was she starts off talking about the problem with managing her inbox and how she tries to be organized, and she keeps her unread messages under about 1,000, and she's seen worse. And I could say I keep mine normally maybe under 100, and probably grew that to about 500 after the holiday week. But I understood her problem. She said, you know, she'll read something she knows it's important to respond to, or, you know, figure out what the action is, whatever, get a message back to that person, but she's not prepared to do it at the time. So you flag it and you'll get back to it later. But then what happens is you never get back to it, or you get back to it much later than you originally intended. You end up sending a lot of "I'm sorry for the late response" types of emails. So she said her goal was to email like a boss, which meant sending 2-word responses, but replying immediately. And she's like, you know that type of email, usually they come off kind of like an ass and nobody wants to be that person, but she decided to try it out and she felt great. And I'm like, I need to do that.
Yeah.
Did you do that today?
Great idea.
Did you mix that in?
I mixed it in a little bit. I struggle with it because I feel like that's being rude and also not providing enough information. But I think that's where I tend to struggle, is like being concise and being, you know, saying everything that you need to say. But I've tried to like anticipate the questions before they come and roll it all up into one great response. But half the time, you know, that's not necessary, but it's hard to stop myself. So yeah. I feel like I get in my own way of being as efficient as I want to be. And that's what it had me start thinking about.
Yeah,
so I mean, so I was, you didn't mean emailing like a boss. You mean like an owner of a
kind
business.
Of both, kind of
like
both.
Actual
owner of a boss, you know, the owner of the business, and then dominating, you know, the.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's business. I talk about this all the time. We were talking about this. I think people tend to do this when you're procrastinating about things. You want things to be too perfect. You're like, you know what? Like, you know, starting a business. Or writing a blog post, or sending an email, that's like the whatever version. But they're all versions of the same thing. Or even working out, you're like, you know what? When I work out, I want it to be like this. I want it to be perfect. Or when I get in a relationship, I want it to be like this. I want to devote all my time to it. I can see how it is in its purest form, and that's how it needs to be. And anything less is a compromise, and I cannot compromise. And I totally understand that, but I think sometimes you just gotta do it, you know, just make it happen. Like, you know, satisfice it. Right? Is it the terrible word that is now a vocabulary word in management books? But it's true, because you need to just what's good enough right now is good enough. You know what I mean? Like, they won't know that you could have crafted the perfect email, and it doesn't really matter. It doesn't add any more marginal value to it.
But you feel like they will know, or you know, I fear being that person that replies and didn't read closely enough before doing so, because they're so eager to just say something, and then you end up looking stupid, like you don't know what's going on, or you're not paying attention when you could have taken more time, read through the stupid long chain of emails to get up to speed before you say something and make sure you know what you're talking about. There's probably like a happy medium in between the two, but I tend to lean more towards being over prepared.
Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, there is all those bosses that you're talking about that send these 1 or 2 word emails. when you get in a bad habit of just doing that, then yeah, they always, I've had to correct senior people before, and I'm like, I had to ping them on the side, just IM them on the side, like, everything that you wrote there is very wrong, you know? Yeah. All
or,
two words
or
are,
was already answered.
Yeah, and so I had to tell them, like, this is on the thing here, and so that way they don't, I don't look like I'm calling them out in the big email chain where I'm like, yeah, everything you wrote is wrong, guy. Sorry, dude. You're bad. Yeah,
and I don't want to be the recipient of that sidebar.
Yeah. I mean, see, you're right, I think, but, you know, when you're correcting for these kind of things, this is not bad. You know, it's like the dudes, we don't want to spend too much time blaming the victim here, you know what I mean? Because anything good, we're doing a correction over a massive imbalance here, you know? So if you have 1,000 emails, it sounds like you're doing a bad job. You know, you're nowhere close to the happy medium. Send some 1 or 2 word emails.
I don't have 1,000 emails. She had 1,000 emails.
Yeah, you have 500 yeah. then.
Only because of the holiday week.
How many personal unread emails do you have?
If I let it go like 2 days without cleaning it up, it'll get to 100. But it's all spam.
Yeah, I can't do that. Like my.
It's all sites that are just like
when I check my when
for
I check my
New
phone.
Yorking company because you let us send you emails.
You just mark send it to junk. Delete.
Yeah, and I try to run through and like unsubscribe to all that crap, but it seems like it never works.
Maybe I don't know. I know that I have to have my inbox clean all the time. I'm one of those kind of people, and it bothers me.
Anal?
Yeah, it bothers me. Yeah, maybe I'm an anal. But yeah, I can't just have it sitting there. Dell, how many emails do you have in your inbox right now?
In my
unread
work inbox,
whatever, either one.
Work is clean. I keep it clean. But I also like I have no problem sending very concise responses.
Is that because you're a dude and you're inherently an asshole?
Maybe. I think it's well. I remember reading when about like emailing professor etiquette, like etiquette to professors, was like don't try to write long things where your professor has to like dig through your email to see what the point of your email is. Don't like write a formal letter. Just write what you're asking so they can read it and respond directly and quickly about that. And that stuck with me both as like working with my professors, but also as a teacher. Like I hate when I get a wordy email from a student and I have to like sift through all the words to figure out what they're actually asking or trying to tell me. And so I think that came down. And also I just feel like to me, email is a slightly less, it can be a formal thing, but in general, in my regular working relationship, it's just like text messaging, basically, except you're not expected to respond, you know, it's a longer window of response.
So we read something about
that. In my work world, it's more formal, and it's like a method of tracking, so you want to make sure you're on top of your crap. Cause that's like a written record of what happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. And depending on your workplace situation. And then also you have on top of all that, the fact that apparently like kids, like say if you're in your 20s right now, those kids think that email is a formal communication. It is to them like an 18, 19, 20 year old, what writing a formal letter would be to you. You're like,
yeah,
I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to send them an email. Like to you,
right.
To all of us who, you know, our email was like you signed up and it was fun. You're like, I'm going to sign up for a Yahoo one, a Gmail one, you know, like a Zoom.com one, whatever, all the ones that you got, the free email one. It was just kind of something you threw away. It's just a fun message thing. It's not super formal. But to them, it's formal. For us, it's just informal communication. But for the like adults, like text messaging is so informal. You're like, why would I do this? Like this is some older people are like, this is rude to send me a text. Where I feel like sending a text is just informal. It's like I'm sending you, you know, informal communication. I remember I got in trouble at my job once for sending a text saying, hey, I'm going to be late, you know?
Really?
Yeah. And they're like, if you're going to send me a communication like this, you need to pick up the phone and call me. I was like,
oh, wow.
Did you read the text? Did you get it? And she was like, yeah. But that was a text message. I was like, So you got my message. Like, I'm not going to call you. Why would I call you? That's rude.
That's interrupting somebody else's day.
Yeah. And so
I hate talking on the phone.
Yeah. And then I've had another boss. It was funny. It was like my very next boss. I was like, yeah, you know, pretty standard. If you're going to be late, just send me a text, shoot me a text and you know, I'll be fine. And I was like, you know, it just, some of it's preference and just the other boss is an older lady. This boss is a little bit, he's like in his 30s, right? And I was in my 20s. So it made.
Yeah, I mean, you have to know your audience.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, so it just kind of preference. Anyway, so like talking about these emails here, I think, you know, there's room for, you can write an email with a lot of information in it, clearly. But mm-hmm. there's a skill to doing that. And those wordy emails that you're talking about.
I have the skill.
Yeah, Gina's pretty good at this. But there's like so many people that just have so much mitigating speech in there. You know, where it doesn't like, we found that maybe that we could like, and you're just like, what does all this say? Just clear and concise sentences. There's apparently like I think I was applying at Uline or something like that. And one of their tests, like their interview process, they're going to want to say, sit you in front of this computer and you have to write clear emails, right? And I was like, okay. But that's the thing. They're like, all the emails need to be to the point, you know, action verbs, sentences like this needs this, you know, like that. And bulleted if you're going to spread out any information. Good. These are good things because you don't want to read a novel when you're checking your email, right? You know, you don't need flowery language. You don't need the guy, what was that book there that I was telling you about? You don't need to read fucking Walden. You need to be more like Hemingway, right? And that's the deal. What you're talking about there, when students email professors, I think they're trying to do this mitigating speech because they don't want to offend them.
It's deferential, sure.
Yeah, and so that's a problem. So how do you communicate? It's cool. Be deferential. Hello, sir. You know, I have a question. Here it is. Write your question out. But you don't say, what's up, buddy? You know, like that's too informal and whatever. I don't know. There's an art there. You can come off terse and cold. Is that how you feel you are if you send off two word?
Yeah, you're not sure how it's gonna be taken, and again, I don't know. It's part of my problem. It's probably not to be crass, but masturbatory that I just enjoy writing a good email, and I just like, look at it like, oh, it's beautiful. Like to throw it back to one of our early episodes when I rub one out and email them. I just love it so, and I probably need to chill and just like send the answer.
Yeah, you could do that. I think you can write. You can still write a good two word, like the two word emails that I see sometimes that are like, yeah, let's do this, all lowercase. Whatever, like
that. Yeah, that stuff irritates me. I'm like, it does not take that much more time to address the person, hello, whoever, hi, whoever, and form like full sentences. Capitalize the beginning of the sentence. Add a period.
Yeah. If I'm starting an email conversation, I will write a salutation. But once they reply and if it's just they ask me a question back, then I just reply. With that, I only put my formal opening and closing the very first time.
Yeah, and then like after my first one, I'll send with my signature, and everything after that, I'll put my initials.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm gonna see if Dell's lying. Nope. Look at that. No salutation there. God, this guy doesn't respect us.
No, it's just you.
When have I ever emailed you?
Apparently, only once.
In 2013.
God.
My personal email, I have 160 unread messages.
Dang. God. Adam's eye is twitching right now.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking at this one that's in here, and I'm like, where is it? Delete.
So, anyway, that article, deleted. I mean, not just to focus on email and that particular problem or thing that I struggle with, but it kind of reminded me in general about my desire to improve my efficiency at work and like trying to figure out how do you do that? How do you figure out where the improvement's needed? Because, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say what works for other people would necessarily work for you. Is that the right way to do it? The two word emails, like, should I be doing that just because that works for some other people? Or, you know, I probably think too hard about it, but, you know, like my identity is tied up in my good emails. And so you don't know what things to let go of and what's going to be, you know, for the better.
Well, I mean, so when they're talking about like when you're developing a company, right, like a startup, whatever, like that, and you're writing a mission statement. One thing that some companies do is that they write their mission statement too specific, right? So this is kind of the same thing. You have a personal identity, whatever, your brand. God, gag me. But like, so say, you know, say we're
to craft great, you know, correspondence.
Yeah, like, say like Kodak, right? Like we make film, right? And that's their mission statement. I'm simplifying it. I don't know if this is really what they're saying. That's what they'll say, right? We make film, and we make the best film. That sounds great. Yeah, cool, right? But now, in 2017, if you're a filmmaker, like I make film, that sounds bad, right? So then you kind of genericize it. So it helps you mentally to change course. You know, like we make the things that help people capture memories. You know, something like that. And, you know, that sounds markety, whatever, and kind of like douchey, but the idea is that you don't get tied to the one thing, right? It's not like I write cool emails, it's I am a clear communicator, you know? So that it frees you up. So what is the clearest communication that you can write that is also succinct, right? And effective, captures all that idea, addresses all these things in the, you know, concise, the most concise form that it could. Concisering
should probably be a shorter word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. That'll help you. Don't be the girl that writes
girl.
Yeah, the diminutive person.
Little lady.
Yeah, little lady. Little look at this little thing. Lady. Right?
Okay.
Don't be the chick that writes good emails. Be, you know, the woman that writes that effectively communicates.
I think there's something to be said. I mean, there's an emotional component, but there's something to be said for,
go ahead, say it.
Like, to me, it's like, I've got a lot of stuff to do, and this is, and I'm not going to apologize for writing it, even if it comes off as terse, you know, I don't care because I feel like I've given it all the attention that it deserves, you know, and I value my time and I value other people's time as a result.
See, I struggle with that attitude. I can't.
Yeah. Like, but I'm an asshole. So,
I mean, yeah. I can't not to say I'm like super nice, but I don't know. In that way, I feel like, oh, that's just wrong. I can't do that.
I mean, without giving a whole lot away, I think also your role plays a factor and then your gender plays a factor. There's a whole lot of people that, you know, like you kind of have to know your shit.
Yeah, and my personality.
Yeah.
Anywho, so there you go. I think that's a good setup for creating our New Year's resolutions.
Oh yeah, what is what?
We've got a what is what? You make your own. You know how these
what
work.
What is my resolution?
You
tell
know how
me
these
now.
Work.
What's my resolution? Are we gonna talk about Nelly Furtado?
Yeah, I'm just saying, y'all got a month to figure that out.
Can I get a beer before we open this conversation up?
Sure. You go get a beer. I'm going to talk
about Nelly Furtado makes Del need to drink.
All right. So once again, if you're unfamiliar with this bit that we're doing here, we put a bunch of albums into a big old...
Adam built a computer.
I built a computer,
so
computing machine.
Randomize
to randomize albums. And... yeah, it's, you know, you remember the Hitchhiker's Guide? Same shit. Instead of 42, it gave
made
us "Whoa Nelly" by Nelly Furtado.
He wrote, Excel basically. He remade Excel
spreadsheet program. I got this. All right, so "Whoa Nelly" came out in 2000, when Nelly Furtado was 21 years old.
It was her debut album.
Her debut. I mean, I'm familiar with this album because Gina liked it a lot, and she was the one that submitted it into this list here. You may know it for "I'm Like a Bird," you know, and I think that's probably it. That's the song. Gina likes it, and I've listened to this album a ton just because Gina plays it all the time. But aside from that, you might know for some of the other songs. I think what's the next one on here that's fairly popular?
Turn Off the Light.
Maybe. Okay, that one. I don't know
how
well it did. So we listen to it. The idea is we listen to these albums. We give them a few spins. And then we talk about it. We review it, I guess. We give the definitive deranged penguin a thought on this subject. So, it's Whoa, Nelly. Gina, why did you choose this one?
You gonna play this song? Huh. Just let it play?
Yeah. Why did you...
why did I choose the album?
Yeah.
I mean, I was 14 when this came out, and...
God. Child.
Basically, it just captures, you know, the essence of my youth.
I guess she was 21, you're 14, you're like, this is speaking to my soul.
Speak my truth. I don't know. I mean, I think at this point, the singles that came out off the album are probably my least favorite songs on the album.
That happens a lot.
Of the other ones better. But this was one of those albums that, especially at the time, I could listen to start to finish. And I liked every song on it. There wasn't anything I would really skip.
You like Shit on the Radio?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun song. It's fun, right?
No, this one sounds the most like 2000 to me. It has like a generic.
I mean,
it's bringing you in.
It's opening up the album.
And I think the part where she like, it sounds like they're reading something. Remember the day? Like, I hate fucking sentences that are just built around a chorus like that. I could just see the words wrapping around it.
I haven't listened to this. If I get in a nostalgic mood, I will listen to this album or a couple of the songs. Listening to it in its entirety over the past couple of weeks, I was like, definitely, I was 14.
I remember, I've evolved past this music.
I felt like I understood where Gina came from a lot more by listening to this album. I could hear Gina in this album.
Yeah, and I don't think, though, that the version that I listened to over the past couple of weeks had the 12th song on the album. So I don't know if you guys listened to the song Scared of You.
Yeah, that song sucks.
Yeah.
That was my favorite song.
Oh, my God.
And, like, the second half she sings in Portuguese because she's Portuguese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it sounds stupid to say it out loud. I like Portuguese. I like the way it sounds. But I really loved that song. Like, this... The way this song sounds is the way my room looked when I was that old. It's like, that's who I was.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. That idea, because that's fine. That's fine. That's kind of what we're talking about here. It's funny to, you know, to go revisit something that you, that was so close to you, close to your identity. And now that, you know, your identity is built around a lot of different things.
And it was different. None of my friends were listening to this. It wasn't something that I shared with, like, my best friend, and we listened to it together. It was just mine.
Yeah, I'll say my short review, we can unpack all these. We'll kind of go around the room here, is that it is different. It's very different than a lot of other 2000s era stuff. But it does sound, you can hear the 2000s era in it. I was like, wow, this sounds like that time. It sounds self-indulgent. Like if I were like producing, like Scared of You, I mean, I'm looking at the time now, it's 6 minutes. There's just like instrumentals there for a while. And I feel like the instrumentals are not good enough for me to just continue listening to it, like without doing something else. Like I was driving and listening to it and I was like, man, is this song still on? Like shit. I was not jamming out to it or nothing. And then I think there's a couple parts where she just like, It's like the end of the...
More Than Words?
Yeah, More Than Words, when you're just like, all right, okay, you could have cut all of this part out. You're just coming back and just being self-indulgent. It sounds like, you know, a 20-year-old chick reading her diary at me. That's what this whole thing sounds like to me. That sounds, you know, like we're talking about the other one sounds like disaffected suburban dude.
I love being in her diary.
Right? Just yelling at you about his dick. Well, this one sounds like this one sounds like a chick reading her diary at me, and I'm sure it sounded clever when she was writing it. But I'm just like, I don't care.
No.
You used to like me when my shit wasn't on the radio. I'm like, oh fuck it you,
chick. Yeah, everybody has a song like that. Right?
Nobody fucking cares.
It had all the hallmarks of late '90s, right around the turn of the century, like. The poetic like the any metaphors and similes and stuff, like even have that 90s ish.
Yeah, and I used to think her lyrics were aspect. So clever. And listening to it again, I was like, oh.
Yeah. And, you know, the first song, I was like, wow, this is straight out of the same melting pot that Sugar Ray and Smash Mouth were in.
Love Sugar Ray.
I have no problem with Sugar Ray. That's not a value judgment. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the opening one. You know what? I don't hate this song, Hey Man.
Yeah. But it sounded like a college movie soundtrack song.
Hey Man, don't look so scared. You know that I'm only testing you out. Hey Man, don't look so angry. You're real close to figuring me out. See, that's the shit I'm talking about there. Like, I get it. And like I said, I remember seeing that. And I remember thinking also that I was like, oh, yeah, it's kind of. Never heard anybody say this before. Like, in the same way that you need to do peekaboo to your 2-year-old kid, and she's like, whoa, that's amazing. Because she's never seen it. But if I do it to, like, some 98-year-old man, he's like, what the fuck are you doing, guy? You know? Like, I've had 98 years of life.
But I did always hate the next line of this song.
What is it? We're part of a circle, like a Mobius.
I hate songs that say, like, we're all in this together, and you lose me there. I try to just ignore that part.
Yeah, I mean, you're real close to figuring me out. I would say that if, like, dude songs tend towards shouting at you about their dicks, chick songs tend towards this. Like, I'm such an enigma.
And you don't figure understand me. Out.
And
yeah.
They are tiresome.
But I am.
They're both tiresome. I mean, yeah, I don't want to hear somebody sing about it all the time. But maybe there's a clever way to do it. I don't know if this was it. All right, let's talk about listenability, Dell. You're the expert. You went to school. You spent $4 million on learning about musics. Can you tell us about the musics here?
Well, the main things that stuck out to me were actually kind of interesting was the mixture of really sort of a hip-hop bass, hip-hop rhythm, a la Drum Machine, with kind of the flamenco or Spanish sort of guitar, acoustic guitar, classical guitar overlaid. That was actually a little bit interesting. And she was obviously doing some things that brought some electronic elements into it that sounded a little lame just because of the time period that they were done. But
yeah.
But it was kind of neat. I heard Legend was the first song that I was like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. I liked the Latin overlay on top of that, on top of the hip hop.
Whoa, do you like her voice?
That weird. Well, we can talk about her voice. It's really nasally.
Yeah,
and it goes over the line of being real fucking annoying, but every once in a while it also is like, oh, that's pretty unique and sounds like it suits the sound, you know. But when she lets it go too far, it's overbearing to me. I did hear it, honestly, like I felt like Janelle Monáe, like there's a lot of similarity in stylistically.
Gina,
I think
it's the way that Janelle Monáe sings.
I do.
I think all the songs,
it's
the whole
irritatingly like benign. Like it never goes anywhere. I'm just like, do something.
That's kind of her shtick though, with the android cyborg sort of persona that she has.
I wouldn't buy a robot's album. So, but
I heard, like, I was like, man, I could see how this like is a precursor to what Janelle Monáe was doing. And I think she did it better, but I thought it was, I've always known who Nelly Furtado was, and I didn't realize that I really didn't know any of her music, except
her
I had
deep lyrics.
Hey Man.
No. When she says she picked up the chalice of malice, she drank and she was full.
I didn't listen to the lyrics. I just listened to the music.
I don't really like lyrics too much, you know? I said that before. I don't want to hear their tortured metaphors.
Some heavy stuff.
Like, get out of here, man. I mean, I get that, you know.
To be 14 again.
No, like if you go talk to these 14-year-old kids and they're like, these Taylor Swift lyrics, there's so much poetry in them. I'm like, man, just wait till you turn like 35 and you go back and listen, look at this. You're just going to be like, wow, what the hell was I listening to? It happens to everybody. But, you know, this is totally unrelated. I was listening to the 60s on 6 on Sirius XM, right?
It's a good station.
It is. I was like, you know what? I kept wanting to get a change. I was like, oh, I like this. This is a good one. You know, Crimson and Clover. I'll stay here listening to this. But Georgie Girl, that's like a rowdy song. I was like, they're like, man, this chick sucks. If only she changed up her life a little bit. I was like, I don't know if you can sing this song nowadays. Now it's like, you know, you're a firework. You're empowered and whatever. That one was like, Georgie Girl, probably like fix yourself up, you know?
Get your shit together.
Get your shit together, Georgie Girl. All right, that's beside the point. So I would say that this whole thing, listen, start to finish, I can. And I can't tell whether some of that is because I've heard you listen to
it. Forced to listen to it, yeah, start
like,
to finish.
She's like, it is my time to listen to music, and she'll blast it. And, you know, I'm like, whatever, as long as I get to play PlayStation. Can listen to your music, it's fine, as long as you're not telling me to do anything, I guess. So I mean, I can listen to this whole thing. I feel like it's easy enough listening, like it's not offensive enough that I don't want to change the station. The songs that I hate, I have to like listen to them for me to hate them, like Shit on the Radio. Not only that, I was playing in the car right home and the kid was like, nah. You want to hear a different song, kid?
I listened to the album with her in the car, and she didn't. It was her mood.
Really? Just, I was not in the mood for Shit on the Radio.
She's open to
Nelly
Furtado. She's open to it.
Go ahead.
I thought that I can listen to this album. It didn't. There was no point at which I was like, I have to turn this off. The way I was with Green Day. Like it is, and I don't know if it's just not offensive.
Yeah, it's
enough.
Pleasant.
Yeah, but there were times where her voice started to grate on me. But then it would go back down and it would be okay again.
It's a great song. Oh, and this has a great, like, little rap-ish.
Oh, I hated that part, yeah.
Great little rap breakdown in there.
Yeah, where is it? Where did she say it? I was just like, I could go beyond this. Candy is sweet, but honey is sweeter than...
Yeah, it tastes like the real thing, but candy is much, much cheaper.
Cheaper. Yeah, okay. No, thank you. I don't need your attempt.
Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, I think
I thought it was an interesting...
Like, this is an enjoyable album. You're not... It's not... Like I said, it's easy enough. There's enough variety in the whole thing that it's not... Like, one problem with the Green Day album...
Every song
it's
sounds
the
same.
There's like, did you enjoy that? Here it goes again, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So the this one has, I mean, Hey Man sounds different than I'll Make You Cry. There's like rhythm changes here and there. Like you're not going to get bored listening to this. You know, but I don't think you're going to have a musical breakthrough here. It sounds enough like the 2000s that it's like it's not too out there where you're like, what am I listening to? But it's very different than the other very generic R&B stuff that came out in the 2000s that this is very different. And I remember that around the 2000s when I listened to more shitty music, that this was very different.
Yeah. I was actually like, it's obvious. She's a talented person. Like she's talented in bringing, like she's good at putting beats with and mixing that with the Portuguese influence, with the guitar and stuff. Like there's some interesting things happening. I think for me, it does, like, the dated aspect of it is why I wouldn't, like, just grab it and put it on today. Because it sounds...
Didn't age well.
Yeah, it just sounds like it's from that time, you know?
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I hear that.
Yeah.
I'll still keep it on my replay list, but very seldom.
Is there any song on this album that you're like, this is my song, I'm going to put in my all-time playlist?
That's interesting with some trumpet on there.
I don't think think so. I don't think I'd put a single song from this album on my all-time playlist.
Did you find yourself humming any song later on, Delner?
Hey Man sticks, but it's mostly because it also sounds like another song. It goes, bum, bum, ba-da, bum, ba-da, bum, bum. And it's like the same, the Hey Man just sounds just like it.
What song is that?
I don't know what the other song is. It's from the same time period, though.
Hmm.
I think I like any song that has a nice driving sound to it. I mean, you're kind of compelled to, but like the whole, this part.
Yeah, it's kind of like Kishibashi.
Yeah, it's a good, it makes you want to bob your head, headbang a little bit.
Yeah, I have this disc in my CD player, be listening to it at night.
I mean, I listened to Power Man 5000 when I was around 14 years old.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
You want it?
Don't talk to me like that.
I can't really blame you.
So are we selecting now the album for the show after next?
Yeah. We're going to fire it up. All right, we have the machine ready.
It's fired up. I'm going to climb in now.
The hamster is running on all cylinders.
Click me.
I do it again.
Did it just select a number that's not on the list? Yes. How does this thing work?
I had one 47. On the list. I had a 16 before. Number 4. Ugh.
What is it?
Why are we getting another genus selection?
It should have randomized before you randomized.
It's Sade.
Sade's album, God. Promise.
God. How do you say her name?
Sade.
Yeah.
Fucking boring. I'm telling you, man, you're not going to be able to be. Don't operate
just,
heavy machinery while you're listening to
this. You're just climbing into my soul. How does it feel?
Boring.
Promise is the name of it from 1985.
Yes.
I'm not excited about this at all.
It's not excited about you.
I guess.
So, I was going to look at the calendar and see when we're on schedule to discuss this.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll do a show the week of December 12th, and after that, the week of Christmas. So if we save this for two shows out, it would be the week of after Christmas. Is that how we want to do that? We could talk the week prior about Christmas music.
I mean, that sounds good. Del had a good idea. And discussing this live on the show. But Del was like, what if we do a Christmas album? Like, what if we discuss one of those? I wouldn't be opposed to that. And I'm telling you right now, though, I don't want to listen to the Sia album.
That's hard, though, because that's like you got to listen to one artist cover all those Christmas songs. I don't know. I'd rather talk about we can redo our top five lists. I think we did that before.
Yeah.
I think my top five list may have changed. I might have forgotten some versions and some songs
mm-hmm.
that I've rediscovered this year. So maybe we could do that.
Sure.
Top
five songs or top five Christmas albums?
Songs.
Top five songs.
Yeah.
Song and version. Like favorite song by who?
Yeah, like, I mean, I'll Be Home for Christmas is a good song, and a lot of people sing it well or okay, but I don't think
did it best.
Yeah, you know, there's some people that do it the best. I mean,
the best is yet to come.
Like, I don't want to hear Gwen Stefani sing it. Does she sing it? No, she sings
How would she
Santa.
Sing it?
Of course she sings Santa Baby. God, she's a cliche.
I hate that song.
Have you heard Madonna's version?
No.
It's a little irritating. And it also made me realize, I don't know what she sounds like. Like, on every song, she's like somebody else. Which I guess in that way, Lady Gaga is spot on.
So, like, I saw that Sia came out with a new Christmas album called Every Day is Christmas. I listened to, like, one song. I actually played it because we're doing the live podcast with Mingri Nation.
How'd you feel about that?
I didn't really like it, I guess. No, I don't. That doesn't sound good to me I don't want to hear something's coming for us.
Why does it sound so menacing?
Santa's coming for us. There's Alt Rock Holiday.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Pearl Jam singing Let Me Sleep, It's Christmas Time. I don't know.
Pearl Jam does Christmas?
You know what song sucks? Again, I will repeat it every year. Wonderful Christmas Time by whatever Beatle that was that did that.
Paul McCartney? That song is awesome.
That song sucks. I hate it.
But we can get into this more next time.
That sounds annoying. It's like actively annoying. This is the Shins doing it.
Let's go out on
this. The Shins version is the best version. Hey, man, you're taking my favorite songs.
Ugh. It's annoying.
On that note.
That song is so good.
Yeah, more to come on that one. I've been listening to a couple of
them. I say it. More to come.
I've been feeling a little bit more Christmassy this year. Have you, Gina?
I have.
Yeah. I don't know if it's because we have a kid. I mean, we had a kid last year. I felt especially un-Christmassy. I felt more Grinchy last year. This one, I'm like, yeah, you know, holiday time. Let's get a Christmas sweater. What do you say? Gather around the fire. There's no fire here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the show. If you want to send us an email, you can send us one at podcast@derangedpenguin.com. Penguin with the W. Make sure it's not terse. Make sure it effectively communicates.
Make it thorough.
But not too flowery.
No, yeah. Not flowery, but I mean, use proper punctuation.
Like, we don't need a whole lot of a positives in your sentences. You know, we don't need asides. Just get to the point. And I think we're done. Del, why don't you sing us a song to close the show? Ready? Sing Jingle Bells. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.